Well, I had the strangest reaction this week as I was getting ready and working on this particular sermon. I pulled this text from the Gospel of Mark, and I thought, what an appropriate text. And then as I continued to read it and read it through and study it, a text about the waves and the wind, about the storms swamping the boat, about the disciples in utter sweaty panic, about Jesus being asleep in spite of this incredible wind and these incredible waves. And Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. And the disciples screaming at Jesus to save them. Jesus standing up, stretching out his arms, rebuking the winds and the waves, and then this moment of perfect peace. Miraculous peace. And that's what I think made me so angry. Is that how it works for you? I mean, it's one of those accounts in the life of Jesus seems to suggest that when the storms hit, when they hit, when the rock crushes our world, when everything is rattled, Jesus will somehow step in and fix it and make everything okay. Is that how it works for you? Jesus makes it all better? Jesus will always protect us from harm? Do you think Jesus can stop the storms? I mean, really? Do you think he stops storms? He can. Let me bring it a little closer to home. We've got families in this church we've been praying for. I was thinking, and each morning I have my prayer time, and I always pray for various folks. One of them, Patrick. Another is Richard. And I've been praying for Sandra. And you know what? In spite of our prayers, yours and mine, well, they're still fighting. And their world is rocked. And I want to know, is Jesus going to stop the storm? We've got families every single week that have struggling, challenged, many times grieving beyond words. Their world's rocked, and is Jesus going to calm the storm? I've had conversations with some of you lately about financial issues. Is Jesus going to stop the storm? I mean, not just money. Some of you have lost retirement. I had a friend call me, and he said, I had a great tip, and used to be Baptist churches had a 15% donation that would go to retirement. And so he took all of the money in his retirement, and he invested it in a no-miss situation. Yeah. Yeah, guess what? It's gone. Might have to give you a call, Rick. It might be some business for Rick coming up. It's all gone. No more nest egg. And it's not that you're materialistic. That's not it. It's just that you've experienced some difficulties in your financial situation, and some of you have really lost a lot. Your world's been rocked. Is Jesus really going to calm the storm? It's a religious disconnect. A picture of Jesus rebuking a storm, stopping the wind, calming the waves, the boat almost going under, and it rights itself by the power of God and then peacefully sails into the sunset of life. I love that picture, but does it really work that way every time? Sure seems to me that in spite of our best efforts and intentions, many of us have storms that rage on and on and on and on and on. And where exactly is Jesus in all of this? Before I gave up on the story, or maybe before the story gave up on me, I read it in a different light. I started realizing that the real miracle of the story is not that Jesus calmed the storm, but that Jesus calmed their hearts. Jesus is asleep, not a sign of indifference, but a sign of peace. Peace and therefore faith in the presence of God. He can sleep because he trusts in the care of God, not the kind of care that prevents storms or stop storms, or rebuke storms, but the kind of care that endures the storms that all of us have to deal with in life. You see, one of the lessons the disciples were learning that day, on top of that rolling water, is that being close to Jesus doesn't stop the storm. It didn't stop the storm. It happened anyway. It's a hard lesson. It really is. Being a good person doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to stop the storm. Being a religious person doesn't necessarily stop storms. Coming from a nice family doesn't necessarily stop storms. Having money in the bank doesn't stop storms. Having a full body scan and a yearly physical doesn't necessarily stop the storms. Storms happen because life happens. And as it happens, the disciples fear for their lives. They panic. They cry out, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning here? We're about to die." And Jesus stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And the storm stops, but Jesus isn't finished yet, because he's just now getting to the place where he's going to have a conversation with his disciples. And when the Bible says disciples, that's us. And so he's going to have a conversation with us. Are you ready? Because this is what he says. Are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith? I mean, he calms the storm, but not one time do you find Jesus going around saying, "Look what I've done." He doesn't say that. "Look at what I can do. Admire for me for my ability to control storms." That's not it, because what Jesus knew and knows is that the real storms that need to be calmed are the ones that are raging inside of you. Inside the human consciousness. I happen to think Jesus can still calm storms. Storms, storms, storms that rock your world. I really believe that in spite of what's happening, that Jesus can calm any storm He helps us find this place of calm within ourselves. That's to say, there's already within us a place of calm. There's already within us. It's a place of strength, a beauty, of clarity, a place of divine presence, a holy of holies within you. And what we need to do is not so much look for calm out there, but we need to look for calm in here. It's in here. I got to visit with one of the ladies who was the organist of our church, and I had received a call in the middle of the night, while I was there in St. Louis, not this time, but many years ago when I was pastoring this church, and she called me, and I was sort of surprised to get a call from her. And she says in a very straightforward manner, "My husband just died." I said, "Would you like for me to come on over?" "No, not tonight," she said. "My girls are here." And she said, "But I'd like to see you in the morning when it's convenient." That's how she talked to me. Her husband just died. I went by the next morning. She had the coffee made. We sat down, had a cup of coffee. And before I could say anything, she said, "Well, how are you doing?" And then she said, "He had a good life. He was a good man and a good husband and a good father, strong believer in Christ. The heart attack took him right away. I'll see him again." "So what kind of plan," she said to me, "do you have today?" "Well, And then I kept getting phone calls. "I'm not sure she's doing well. She doesn't seem to be very upset. I can't figure out what's going on." So I called her back on the phone. "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." "Why?" "Well, your husband died, so, you know." "Yeah, I know." "It's going to be okay. I'm at peace," she said. Not because of what's on the outside. "I'm at peace because of what I know on the inside." Even church members, when I went back, they said, "That's the most amazing thing. Never did quite understand that." "I miss him, but I'll see him again." Wow. What a lesson for all of us about faith, trust. The idea that we can believe and know that even though everything on the outside, all the waves come crashing, all the storm comes down, and everything looks like it's going to fail, God says, "Be at peace. It's okay. I've got this." Where's your faith? Where's your faith, disciples? "I've got this." It's really the Wizard of Oz effect, you know. Remember the Wizard of Oz? The lion, the scarecrow, the tin man. You remember that? You guys remember that? They all wanted something so desperately. They wanted courage and intellect and feeling. They all wanted the big wizard behind the curtain to give it to them. And they found it, but they found it because, well, it was always there. The lion had courage all along. The scarecrow had a brain all along. The tin man had a heart all along. And each of us created in the image of God, sons and daughters, and loved by God through the power of Jesus Christ. We have this incredible reservoir of faith and courage and calm within us because Jesus is within us. I remember when I first accepted Christ and the pastor of that church, I was just a young man at the time, the pastor approached me and I remember him asking me this question. I'll ask it of you. Where does Christ live? Where does Christ live? Anybody? You mean Christ lives inside of you? Inside of you? So you've got this reservoir within you of power and peace and grace and love and calm, and it lives within you, and all you have to do is call upon it and it will be there. That's all you have to do. And how do we forget this? When the storms come and we look at the storm and we say, oh, everything is come crashing down. Or do you look at the still, small, silent presence of God within you? And find that you have all that you need to get through the storm. Whatever it may be. Because it's within you already. Call upon it. We can't stop the storm sometimes, folks. But Jesus can calm us and give us the strength and the love and the faith and the peace that we need from within. Place where we find ourselves, we find God, and in many ways that's why we pray. That's why we have this weekly communion, so that we can meditate and reflect and we can listen to what the Word of God has to say. Hopefully it's not just weekly, it's daily. We worship every Sunday because it's these practices in one way or another that help us to find this quiet spiritual center. So I'm going to tell you, if you're not in a storm right now, you will be. You will be. And when it comes, then what? Then what? Well, you've got what you need inside you. That's why you go to Sunday school and worship and read your scripture and pray and build up your spiritual health. Because it'll come. And when it does, you call upon it. The strength and the love and the grace and the peace that only God can give. I know it doesn't always work exactly like that. I tend to believe in the best about worship and prayer can do for all of us. Every now and then I realize it's not so lofty. After the worship on Sunday, this past Sunday, somebody gave me an offering envelope. It was picked up in a pew. And there were two young brothers that were writing back and forth to each other. And one brother wrote on it, "If I pull out my loose tooth, then maybe we can go home." And the other side of the envelope, it said, "I'll distract Dad, you pull the tooth." Fair enough. Well, maybe church doesn't always reach its best purpose. But I think we come here to find something that Jesus knows is already inside us. That place of calm and strength and faith. And sometimes we just put this emphasis on putting your faith in Jesus, and rightfully so, but it's also to affirm the Jesus that we put our faith in. There's hardly anything more powerful in life. Well, there isn't anything more than God. And I think God still believes that we can get through any storm, because He gives us the strength to do it. Let me tell you what I wish today. That's what I pray today. I pray that each and every one of you will call upon that reservoir inside you. Maybe the storm has been on the outside and you're wondering, how do I get to the next place? Well, this is how you do it. Call upon what you have within you, the power of Christ. And the storm, it can be calmed from within. Let's pray. Lord, within our hearts we hear the whispering words, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. In Jesus' name, amen.